and learning some things from them to help us as we strive to be people of excellence and a church of excellence for the Lord. And in this series of lessons that we've been doing, we first looked at four different parts of Moses, experiences that Moses had in his relationship with God. And this morning we come to the conclusion of three different lessons we've been looking at Joshua. And this one has to do with decisions that we need to make. And so I want to, as we begin this morning, we're talking about making decisions about who we're going to follow. So let's take a look at Joshua as he talks about the decision as for me and my house. The first thing that we've got to look at, and I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 24. This is at the end of Joshua's life. He's been leading the Israelite people. They've been conquering the land that God had given to them. And it's now at the time when Joshua is ready to pass on. And he's challenging the Israelite people with, in a sense, kind of some last words and last admonitions, so to speak. And if you begin in chapter 24, let's take a look at verses 14 and the first part of verse 15, first of all, where Joshua talks about what I'm calling undesirable service. Okay? Look at what he has to say. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all fullness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose. See? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Now, I want to focus for just a moment on that part of the statement here where he says, verse 15, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose. See? Undesirable service. Joshua is telling these folks, look, you've got some choices that you've got to make. And the first thing you need to do about these choices is you got to throw some stuff away. Because some of the stuff that you have is distracting you away from God. See? They are false gods. And he's saying, you got to throw that stuff away. Throw away all of those other gods that are not really gods to begin with. Throw them away and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then you got choices that you need to make. You see, as I read that text and that statement from Joshua, the question that comes to my mind is, do you desire to serve the Lord? You see, Joshua is challenging the people with that thought. If serving the Lord is undesirable to you, and that's something that you and I need to ask ourselves, is serving the Lord undesirable to you, or do you desire to serve the Lord? See? That's a pretty serious question. I thought about earlier when I was planning all this, I was going to warn you. Maybe I'll just warn you now. I forgot about it a moment ago. You got to watch your toes this morning because I'm liable to step on some. Not intentionally, anybody individually, but this is a challenge that all of us, I think, we need to look at in our lives. Do you desire to serve the Lord? Not are you serving the Lord? Not are you going to church, do you desire to serve the Lord? Because basically it's a matter of you gotta wanna, okay? If you don't wanna, you're not gonna. Okay? That's basically what it is. And so we have to decide, do you want to, do you desire to serve the Lord? Because if you really don't want to serve the Lord, you're just gonna go through the motions. And you can look like it, but if you don't desire it, then, brethren, it's not happening. Because worshiping and serving the Lord has to come from here first before any actions take place at all. And if it doesn't come from here, from the heart, and isn't that what Jesus talked about to the Israelites over and over again? Well did Isaiah say of these people, they honor me with their lips, but what? Their hearts are far from me. Our desire is right here. And so serving the Lord has got to come from here. If it doesn't, you can do all the great things in the name of the Lord you want to. But if you don't desire it, it's all for nothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works? And then I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity. You see, it's not about the things we do. It's about the desire that we have that accompanies those things. And if we don't have the desire, then we can do all the great works in the name of the Lord we want to. But you got to wanna. And that's why I think Joshua puts it this way. If serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then choose who you're going to serve. Okay? And that's an important, important choice. We need to ask ourselves, do you really want to serve the Lord? If you don't, then you know what? Any excuse is just as good as any other. And Satan, we talked about this a while back, Satan is more than willing to provide all the excuses that we want to not serve the Lord. If you don't want to, just pick one. If you want to, if you really desire to serve the Lord, then the excuses will fall by the wayside. So we need to ask ourselves, are there other things in our lives that don't need to be there and we need to throw away, like Joshua is telling the Israelite people? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, chapter 12 and verse 1, after talking about all of these people of great faith and commending them for their faith, says, therefore let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So we have that same idea that Joshua is saying, we got to throw that stuff out. We got to cast it away. Because if we don't, it will, as the writer of Hebrews says, it will hinder us. And I think mostly it will hinder us from our service to the Lord. So do you desire to serve the Lord? If serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then choose. And Joshua lays out here for the people, you know, there's those gods that, you know, of our forefathers, and there's those on the other side that in the land that you're dwelling in now, there's gods all over the place, these false gods, and you choose whichever one you're going to serve. The bottom line, Joshua's saying, it doesn't really matter. If you're not going to serve the true living God, serve whichever one you want to. You'll get the same results. We need to choose. Notice what he says at the very last part of verse. This is the part that everybody knows Joshua for, right? Joshua 15 in the second part of the statement. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, what you have to understand about that statement, that is a thoughtful choice that Joshua has made. You go ahead and serve whoever you want to, but as for me and my house, the choice has already been made. We're going to serve the Lord. Okay? Why? Because it was desirable for him to do that. He desired to serve the Lord. And as far as he was concerned in his house, he's going to serve the Lord. You see, it's a choice that we've got to make. Joshua's decision here was a result of an active choice. And I want to emphasize that word active. It's an active choice. Okay? In other words, we have to make an active choice in our lives as to whether or not we're going to serve the Lord. Choosing to serve God is not a passive activity. Okay, can I say that again? Choosing to serve God is not a passive activity. It requires an active choice, because in order to serve the Lord, we have to act. Okay? We can't just serve Him by wanting to. That's the first part. We got to want to, but then there is the actual action that accompanies that. Serving Him will not happen by itself, in other words. It's something that we've got to choose to do. Now, let me illustrate to you what I'm talking about this way by asking you a question. And I think probably everybody in here, or most everybody in here, in one form or another, you have a calendar that you refer to in your life, right? I mean, lives are so busy these days that if you don't have a calendar, then, you know, it's like, what am I doing today? I don't have a clue. All right? I've got a calendar, and I've got everything on there. If it's not on my calendar, then it's not happening. Okay? That's just something. I'll throw that out to you on the side there. So if you come to me and say, Russ, you know, can you do this for me or what have you? Yeah, but you need to make sure I put it on my calendar, because if I don't, then it's not going to happen, okay? Because I got to have that calendar remind me. That's because of this small-sized brain that I have up here that's got a defect in the remembering department, okay? But we all have these calendars that we put our stuff down on, so we know what we're doing and when we're supposed to be doing it, right? Is that everybody with me on that? Everybody got some kind of calendar you refer to? Okay. All right. What do you have on your calendars for Sunday morning at 9:30? For Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock? What's on your calendar? I heard somebody back there go, church. Okay, good. Okay, now I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, okay? I put, as I told you a moment ago, it's not on my calendar, it's not happening, with one exception. Church. Church is not on my calendar. If you look on my calendar, you know, it's on my phone, I keep everything on there, you won't find an entry for Sunday morning church, or Bible class, or worship, or anything. You won't find it on Wednesday evening either. Now, that may sound strange to you, but here's the reason why. Because that's on this calendar right here. Okay? I don't need a calendar to tell me where I need to be on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or 9:30. Okay? I don't need one to tell me where I need to be the other times. Because that calendar is right here. Those are automatic, in other words, is what I'm telling you. You see? And so if somebody says, hey, what are you doing on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or 9:30? I'm going to say, I'm going to be in church. You want to come? You see? I don't have to look at my calendar, in other words, to know where I'm going to be. Why? Because I have chosen to serve the Lord. And me and my house, we serve the Lord. You know, as Cindy and I were raising our family and our children, they grew to understand and to know. And we oftentimes had people that stayed with us and so forth. And everybody understood when it was Sunday morning and it was Sunday night and it was Wednesday evening, this family goes to church. And if you're staying in this home, you're part of this family, you're going to church. There was no negotiation on that. Because that was on this calendar right here. See? And the only way that those kinds of things get there is when we choose actively to serve the Lord. You see, your calendar that you have, that you carry in your purse or your pocket or on your phone or whatever, you put all those other activities on there of the things that you're doing, and you need to understand you are making active choices to put those things on your calendar, aren't you? Nobody is making you do those things. Your boss doesn't even make you put on your calendar you have to go to work. You do that because why? You want a paycheck. Okay? You want a paycheck, so you go to work. You put birthday parties and anniversaries, and you put work activities and social events and all of those other things on your calendar so that you know where you need to be when. You do that because you make an active choice to be at those places at those times. Are your toes hurting yet? If you don't put worshiping the God that created you on your calendar, this one right here, then you are choosing not to be there. Because you have to choose whether or not to be there, you see, or to be somewhere else. It's just like the choice that the Israelites were challenged to make by Joshua. You choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, if we don't, as parents, help our children to understand the significance of those choices, then those choices will not be important to them. Okay? And we have to decide, is it important enough for us to have our children here for Bible classes so they can learn about God? Is it important enough for us to be here for Bible class so we can learn about God? And to be here for worship so that we can worship God together as He has commanded us to do? If we don't choose to do that, it's not going to happen. But we have a choice, don't we? Just like they did. And that's why Joshua told them, if serving the Lord is undesirable to you, you choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, the choice has already been made. The challenge that I throw out to all of you today is make that choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this gets really, really interesting as you continue reading what takes place next. After Joshua makes this challenge to the people here, look at what takes place beginning in verse 16. The people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt and from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Wow. What a great declaration, right? But look at the very next statement. Look at what Joshua says in response to what the people are declaring. "You're not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion, your sins." That sounds kind of like a strange statement to make, isn't it? After they've just declared their faith and their willingness and desire to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, "You're not going to. You're not able to." We need to understand what Joshua is really trying to tell them. You see, you keep on reading down a little bit more here, you begin to get the understanding and the feeling for what they're really doing here. You see? Joshua in verse 20 goes on to say, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." Verse 21, "But the people said to Joshua, 'No, we will serve the Lord.'" The point here, and what Joshua, I think, is trying to get them to understand, is it's real easy to declare your allegiance. But it's another whole thing to keep true to your word. How easily they declared, "We will serve the Lord." And Joshua, he says, "You are unable." Joshua's saying that. He's saying to them, telling them, "You cannot do this on your own. You need to understand that. This is something that you have got to rely on God to help you to do. So don't just, you know, very easily without a whole lot of thought go, 'Oh yeah, we're going to serve the Lord,' and then not follow through. Because God is a jealous God. You make that promise and you make that vow, you break it, He's not going to be real happy with you." Now that's, of course, a paraphrase. You understand that, right? What Joshua is saying to them. Now continue reading on the next couple of verses here. Verse 22, Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." They declare, "Yes, we are witnesses." You see how eager they are, you see, to declare their loyalty. Verse 23, "Now then, Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We'll serve the Lord our God and obey Him." Now, look at what Joshua does. Beginning in verse 25, he tells us, "On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God." Then, hey, listen to this. Hopefully this will sound familiar to you. What did Joshua do? Joshua took a large stone, okay, you with me? He took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." This stone, we talked about last week, the stones of remembrance that Joshua had the Israelites pick up from the middle of the riverbed and place on the other side as a memorial so that they never forget what God has done for them. This stone that Joshua put up is the seventh memorial that the Israelites had put up during their time of conquering the land for various purposes to remember the events that took place there. And this stone Joshua puts up as not just a memorial, but as a witness, he says, against them. Or when they backtrack on their vow to serve the Lord and Him only, that will be a witness against them. We're talking serious choices here, folks. Choosing to serve the Lord is not a matter of frivolence. Because God will hold us to our choices. You see, We have, as I pointed out to you last week, we have, in a sense, our stone of remembrance, don't we? And I suggest to you that everyone who participates in this memorial service is serving, see, at this stone of memorial, this witness stone, if you will. And God will hold every single one of us accountable for whether or not we continue to serve Him and Him alone. Now, I want to do something a little different this morning. Normally, you know, we come to the end of the lesson and we say, okay, we're going to sing a song and I want you to stand and sing. I want to issue a challenge to you this morning. It's the same challenge that Joshua issued to the people then. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Is it your favorite TV program? Is it the school that your children go to? Is it your work? Is it your hobbies? Is it whatever else that is distracting you perhaps from really serving the Lord? Throw it away. Throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you and keeps you from serving the Lord. If it's undesirable for you to serve the Lord, then you choose who you're going to serve. But I'm here to declare to you today that as for me and my house, we're going to continue to serve the Lord. The challenge that I'm offering to every one of you here this morning is, if you will make that same choice, even if you've already made it before, will you make it again? And will you stand right now and declare that choice before we sing our invitation song? And we'll sing that song. Will you so choose this day to serve the Lord? Do you understand the choice that you have made? I really sincerely hope that there is no one standing in this room right now who is only standing because you feel the pressure because everybody else is standing and you don't want to be someone who's not standing. Because if you're not choosing from here, then it's a bad choice. We're going to sing a song that's been chosen as an invitation song. And I'm moved by the challenge, by the response to that challenge. We're going to serve the Lord. And we will become more and more of a church of excellence as we choose every day in our lives to continue to serve the Lord. There may be someone here who's chosen that, but yet has something that you need to throw off out of your life. And if you need help to do that, that's what we want to accomplish for you. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone back there that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. And I'll be up here in the front to receive you. If there's something in your life you need to throw off, then throw it off now so that you are free to serve the Lord. Let's sing together.